Fantastic. We are jumping right into another parable. It's getting ready to come to a close here in the next few weeks. So we have a few more that's left. Tonight, we're going to study about parable of the 10 virgins taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Last week, we finished off with the parable of the sower. Four different grounds that seed was sown into, from Matthew 13, 1 through 9. Tonight we talk about the 10 virgins, about the parable wrapped around the thought of preparation and noticing what that's going to bring around with the kingdom of heaven as it is presented within the parable. But again, I know this is something that we see through the consistency of this. But again, just understanding, continuing to understand what parables are, how Jesus spoke to us in parables, how Jesus spoke to them in parables, how we are actually able to see the parables and understand them because they revealed it to us. But in Luke 8 and 10, he said unto you, he's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables. Matthew 13, 11 to 13, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. It has that figurative level. It has that sometimes a straightforward meaning. It was used by Jesus to help them understand spiritual lessons more easily. We have this consistent thought that's been happening through our parables. We have the kingdom of heaven is like. It's a very common statement through a lot of the parables that we've studied. But tonight we're going to notice a key change in that. That key change is the word then. Then the kingdom of heaven. We see in verse 25 and verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. There's a primary and stark difference between the parables that we've been studying on this one. The key word then, not is, refers to present, but then refers to the future in this context. The future is the coming of Christ. Then the kingdom of heaven. So let's start off with our parable here. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes. Go you out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So we have our parable laid out for us. 10 virgins. 5 wise, 5 foolish. We have those different parts of the parable that is listed out here. And just like all of them, I like to break down these different parts. We have 10 virgins, we have a bridegroom, we have a wedding, we have some lamps, we have some oil, we have some begging and pleading. 5 foolish, 5 wise. They all heard about the wedding feast. They obeyed to come to wait for the bridegroom. 5 were prepared for when the bridegroom shall return, and 5 were not. Bridegroom, as we understand it from this, is Christ. There is a marriage feast for his son, God for Christ, for the coming of the bridegroom. And we have some very interesting aspects of this. The virgins themselves have very distinct similarities and very distinct differences. It's not a whole lot, but there's enough there that leads us to understand But there is something that's different about them. Some of the similarities between the virgins. Both are the same kind of people. They're both virgins. All 10 were virgins. Both watched. And I think about Matthew 24 and 42. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. They were watching. I think of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I will come upon you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 16. Sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. They both watched. Again, 1 Corinthians 16. Again, some passages about watching. How they both were of the same mind. They both watched. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Watch you, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. And Mark 13, 31 through 37. Just some thoughts about watching. Mark 13, 31 through 37. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But at that day and that hour knows no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, take you heed. Watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch you therefore. Watch, for you not know when the master of the house comes, or even at midnight, or the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. The virgins watched. Both had lamps, as we come back to our passage. Both sets of virgins, the wise and the foolish, they had their lamps. They were both ready to begin with. Both waited for the bridegroom. We understand that in verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they both slept and they both slumbered. And what happens at verse 6? At midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes, go ye out to meet him. That wasn't for five individual ones or one. That was for all 10. All 10 heard the cry. Both foolish, both wise. Both also, at this point, did not know how long he was going to be. They just knew that he was coming. A very interesting fact that I thought about with this was both, as we understand the lamps here, that had oil and those that did not. The lamps gave light, right? They trimmed their lamps. Both needed to be identified as those worthy to enter, as a second aspect. They needed to be identified. Some was let in and some was not. And we'll go through that a little bit here as well. Again, I have to say this just for all intents and purposes. If you have comments or questions, please feel free to just speak them out there. I might miss your hand, so... But I always want to get that out in case if I overlook anybody by accident. But both need to be identified as those worthy to enter, right? They were identified by the preparation. They were identified by their lamps with the continual light lit there from the oil. So both were the same kind of people. Both had lamps. Both were invited to the feast. Both waited for the bridegroom. Both slept. They slumbered. They heard the cry. They did not know how long he was going to be. The bridegroom. Both need to be identified as those worthy to enter. We understand there are very distinct things that are similar and things that are separate. We understand wives took their lamps, they took oil in their vessels, they stayed to meet the bridegroom, they were prepared to wait, they were let in. And we'll dive through some of that here a little bit later. The foolish, they took their lamps. They took no oil, they had to leave, They were not prepared to wait, and they were not let in. And I think about some of the differences. Again, it's just kind of understanding what's happening with the parable here, and understanding the two types of individuals, or two sets or groups of individuals that we're working with here, that Christ is talking about. They were wise and they were foolish. The differences with the foolish were they did not take any extra oil. They weren't let in, right? We understand these very similar things, but very easy, distinct differences. They weren't there when the bridegroom returned. They had to leave because of why? They weren't prepared. That's essentially the moral of the parable. Differences in the wise. They did take extra oil. They were let in. They were there when the bridegroom returned. They did not have to leave because they were prepared. Yes, Bernice.
I was just going to say, in studying this, it's like the oil is what keeps the light burning. And spiritually, when you look at it, what's air oil? It's the Word of God. We have to have more than what we need just at the present time. We have to be prepared for whatever persecutions or whatever situation we find ourselves in. We have to have extra.
If we don't, it's not going to be prepared. Absolutely.
Job was another good example of that. You know, when all that hit him, he was prepared. He had oil, in other words, I guess, in a put it that way, he had his oil with him, his extra oil.
Mm-hmm.
And he survived. The time of preparation was not waiting until the world dropped out from under you and look for a parachute to find God. He had to be ready, and he was.
I had to be careful myself not to also focus too much on the oil aspect of it from the parable also, but those are very both valuable points. And thinking of both of those, not only with Job, but with the oil, the preparation that was required when things do get tough, when things come arise that is out of surprise. For instance, the bridegroom tarried. They expected him to come at a certain time. He didn't. So those that were prepared and those that weren't. We understand that now, the story, the parable, we understand that we've had five foolish women, five wise women, virgins, that had their lamps, took oil, they didn't take any oil. They heard the call, verse 5 and verse 6, behold, the bridegroom comes, come out and go. The virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, that there not be enough for you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Why did they say that? It was because the bridegroom was delayed. They just knew that he was coming. They heard the call. He's coming. At midnight, a cry was heard, but he was not there yet. The bridegroom was not there yet. They all trimmed their lamps, but the foolish virgins' lamps went out. And they asked the wise for oil. The wise again said, what? Not lest there be enough for us and you. Go buy for yourself. Five were ready when the call was heard. Individual preparation must be done for not only the call, but the coming. And I think of Matthew 24 in verse 44. Again, therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man comes. Do not fall from your steadfastness. I think of 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse 9 through 18. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and also the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for a new heaven, new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, And even as our beloved brother Paul, who also according to the wisdom given unto him hath written unto you, all, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, but they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also with other scriptures, unto their own destruction. But you therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also be led away from the error of your own wickedness, fall from your own steadfastness, your own grace, and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him both glory for now and forever. Amen. We use that in our last parable as well. And thinking about preparation. Not falling from the steadfast. It's not giving up hope. I think, well, again, I'm not trying to go into diving into the oil, but it's about being prepared, not understanding that when things are going to hit, and they will, unexpectedly, we've all encountered those things. It's about that preparation. Not falling from the steadfastness. Individual preparation must be done. I think 1 John chapter 2, to continue to abide in him. 1 John 2 and verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, not if, when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We must keep our light shining. Again, coming back to that lamp, the light. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 and verse 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That light sets us apart. That lamp sets us apart. It's that preparation. There will be no time for trimming at the last call. When that call comes, it's time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 and 52. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But it's also important to understand about the bridegroom being delayed. In Matthew chapter 25, in this parable, is that there are some, I've read in just commentaries that you know, some could talk about how they wouldn't share or give their oil out. One thing that, again, I'm not trying to focus on that aspect, but the one thing I want to think about is no one can make preparation for another. You've got to make preparation for yourself. It has to be done. And I think about Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 20. Ezekiel 14 and verse 20 that tells us, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own want, their own souls by righteousness. You can't make preparation for everything. I think Philippians chapter 2, as we continue to think about that bridegroom being delayed, the preparation needs to be made. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in what? There's a key word there. Absence. Bridegroom was absent here. You've obeyed in my absence. In verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Those five wives, the wise, were worried with a statement that they proclaimed there, saying, lest there be not enough for both you and us. They made preparations for themselves. You cannot also buy salvation. I think of Revelation chapter 3 and 18. I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire that you may be rich, white raiment, and that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Turn over to chapter 7 and verse 14. And I said to him, Sir, you know. And when he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It takes preparation. Wash and keep your garments. Keep yourselves prepared, spotless, ready to be identified, worthy to enter.
Chris, along those lines of being worthy to enter, I thought about, you know, the parable we talked about, the parable of the talents. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not the first time Christ has mentioned to everyone who has, more will be given. And to everyone, and he will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has still will be taken away. Those who cast underfoot Christ and the importance of preparing and getting their stuff right, you know, that will be taken away, just like the servant, the lazy servant who didn't bother to try to benefit his master with what he was trusted with. So it just makes sense that the ones that had, they're not going to give away. The ones who didn't bother to prepare and trod underfoot, you know, preparation. It makes you think about their mindset. Think about the foolish virgins. I think the wise, even the wise virgins, the smartest thing that they thought was that, I don't know what time that will be. I better prepare myself. Whereas the foolish virgins obviously had a time frame within their mind. They only took what it was for. They didn't bother to know or bother to realize that they didn't know and make preparations.
And that was led right there in chapter 24, right before Christ jumps right into that as well with the servant. And the Lord of the servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware. That's a very good point. Ray, did you have something? Good. So we understand that we have our virgins, we have the five foolish, we have the five wise. We understand the bridegroom was delayed, and then the bridegroom came. And the bridegroom came while there with those that were ready. We understand that a door was shut. He said to those that were not there, I do not know you. We're going to dive into those three points there. He invited those to come in. Those that were ready. We think about here, afterward, the other words, right before that. And while they came, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. Those that were ready went in with the bridegroom. I think about 2 Peter chapter 1. Taking our minds there for a minute. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 10 through 12. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think about what things he was referencing, and I go back up to verse 3. 3:3, according as his divine power is given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving to all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For these things being you and abound, they may make you, you shall neither be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being prepared, adding to ourselves the established things that need to be added to. If these things being in abound, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about those things that he was referencing, and it brings me back, after reading that, to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14. A passage that we all know very well. Many are called, but few are chosen. The door was shut. This reminds me of a very famous story that we know about in the scriptures all too well. Come with me to Genesis chapter 7. Sure, probably some of you were, no, were thinking where I was going with that right there, right off the bat, didn't you? Genesis chapter 7, in verse 13 through 16. And the selfsame day entered Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, the sons of Noah, Noah's wife, the three wives of his sons with him into the ark. They, every beast after his kind, all the cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth after his kind, every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort, they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord did what? Shut them in. Close the door. The door was shut. Noah and his family, total of eight people, were shut in. Everyone else was shut out. How many people, other than Noah and his family, was saved during that time when the door was shut? You can take a guess, but I'll tell you the answer. Zero. Once that door is shut, it's shut. There is no pleading. There is no knocking. It's closed. We understand that from this passage here as well, without preparation. Those outside the ark at the time of the rain did not have time to buy for themselves salvation. Salvation was in the ark, as it is now in Christ Jesus our Lord. When he comes back, that door is going to be shut. It's going to be too late. What happened to those outside the ark? They perished. What happened to those outside the door? They perished. What will happen to those outside of Christ? They will perish. Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. Continue, as I do these parable studies, it just continues to keep myself humbled above all else. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, in verse 21 through 23, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. None of us obviously want to hear that phrase, depart from me. I think about that. That preparation coming back to Matthew chapter 25. As we get ready to close here, because we're just about out of time. Matthew 25, as we finish off. Afterward came also the other virgins, begging, pleading, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he, not anybody else but the bridegroom himself, answered and said, I know you not. So Christ, apart from the preparation, is trying to teach them. Just as we saw in Matthew 24, at the end of that, into 25, then is the kingdom of heaven. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And I think it's important to note about this as we talk about with our other things, with the other parables. Who's the audience he's talking to here? This wasn't out in front of the Jews and the Pharisees inside the temple. In verse 24, if this continued, he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us where these things shall be. So if the scriptures continue to go that, the audience would be implied that it would be his disciples that he was talking to about this, to help them understand that in verse 13, watch therefore, you need to know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. And then again, after that, he begins to break into what is going to be next week for us about the parable of the talents. But again, I think about some applications today, apart from everything that we've already talked about anyway that's applicable to us. And I think, do you have your oil? Do you have your preparation? The main things that I also continue to think about is don't lose hope. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we must be prepared, but don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Stay prepared. Stay ready. Stay looking. Luke chapter 6 in verse 46. Again, something we all know, right? Luke 6, 46. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He tells us to stay ready. He tells us to watch. He tells us to be prepared. Make sure our preparations are in order. He says stay ready. He says stay prepared. We must be able to endure to the end. We must be prepared to endure to the end. Lest we hear anything else that says to us that, no, depart from me. I don't know it. But that closes us up for this week here as far as the parable on the 10 virgins. For those that like to read up on it, for next week, we will do the parable of the talents. So if you're making notes and you want to study up on those, please feel free to do that as well. Is there any questions, comments, anything you need to clean up? Okay, thank you.